Everyone, welcome to season 2, episode 3 of the Voices of Idaho podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We've got a really great episode and we're really excited that you're here to check it out. It's going to be awesome. In this episode, we're talking with Whitney Mistel. Whitney's a co-founder and executive director of Inclusive Idaho. Whitney's also been called one of the most important voices in the West by the Human Rights Collective, and today that voice is going to be guiding us through a myriad of topics, including how Whitney got to where they are today with being an upstander, what exactly is Inclusive Idaho, police brutality in America, the state of inclusivity in Idaho, and what kindness and advocacy in action looks like. So without further ado, this is Whitney's story about what led them to becoming the upstander they are today.
In the spring of 2003, I was in the sixth grade. On this particular day, I received a referral and a trip to the principal's office, not because I had disrupted the classroom or lacked the desire to pay attention. I clasped yet another referral paper and sauntered down the short hallway to the principal's office. The color of my skin had struck yet again. Its silent yet screaming existence, I was unable to avoid. The principal looked unsurprised to see me. This had become routine for us. I entered his office with a vague description of disobedience scribbled on triplicate paper. He barely looked at the referral and motioned to the desk reserved for me in the corner of his office. Although he never said it, he knew it was racism. We had both come to accept it. There I would stay until the final school bell rang. The bus ride home was sometimes peaceful, and other times, the N-word and go back to where he came from would ring out. Our bus driver did his best to combat the vitriol. Home never really felt like a sanctuary from much, but from racism, it certainly was. Raised in a large house with 8 other children who reflected my skin and a black mother, provided the shelter we needed from the discrimination and racism in the world outside. As I provided my latest referral write-up to my mother, she sighed, frustrated, and like me, unable to see when they would end. This write-up came because I was picked out of a line of students waiting to sharpen my pencil. It was custom in class to sharpen our pencils in between subjects. I was written up for not asking permission. None of the other kids had asked either. They sharpened their pencils and seated themselves for the next subject. I spent the remainder of the day in the principal's office. I remember my friend Desiree attempted to stick up for me. This was futile. This day and story, seemingly small, are vivid to me because it was when I made the choice to become an upstander. My mother's words throughout my childhood echo often in my mind. Whitney, it does not matter what they do or what they say. You do not reciprocate it. If I am not to reciprocate hate, then it is my job. It is my duty to act. My name is Whitney Mistel, and I am the executive director and co-founder of Inclusive Idaho. This organization is my decision as a young sixth grader, choosing not to fight hate with hate, come full circle. Inclusive Idaho is our cry for our community to become upstanders in tangible, nonviolent ways. This course is often the hardest. It requires asking difficult questions, having uncomfortable conversations, choosing to speak up even if you are alone. It is your life and your work as a living example of the battle against hate. Idahoans ask me often, how are you the way you are? Where is your anger? My anger is alive, but I refuse to reciprocate it, the very things that have repeatedly scarred my existence. As a young child, my mother taught me to fight hate with excellence, and I continue to believe that this is the best way to combat oppression, discrimination, and racism.
This is Steve Fulton's song, Walls. Humanity's complacency has blinded our ability. Try and see a way to see the bridge that goes from you to me. Mm-hmm.
from there when I'm from here. You're a circle, I'm a square. Your face is purple, mine is pear. How many times we gotta stare before we see the things we share? Instead of all the different layers, let's eradicate the hate and put.
Welcome to the Voices of Idaho. My name is Dan Prinzing, Executive Director of the Wasmus Center for Human Rights. With me today, Adam Thompson.
Hey there.
And Whitney, welcome.
Hi.
What a powerful story to start us today. Those moments in our childhood that impact who we are and what we do, mm-hmm. where they begin to resonate through an entire life. In that takeaway from that moment, and I'm listening in my own head as your mother is telling you how to stand up. Who are you? How did you use that moment to really define who you are?
I think often, even within the Black community, I've been seen as too passive, too willing to do the comfortable thing, or not radical enough. And I think my desire to constantly be, some would say, the voice of reason, or seek change in ways that I know people who don't have a deep understanding of what racism is will respond to, can be viewed that way. But the woman who raised me, and I wrote about this on Facebook recently, was born in 1935. And so I know in part her advice to us, to me, and to my siblings, to never react in violence or with hate, was probably born mm-hmm. out of a fear. Mm-hmm. In her upbringing, it would quite literally bring you death. Yeah. It could quite literally mm-hmm. kill you to respond in any way that wasn't complete submission. And I think knowing that also drives me to want to fight in a way that speaks love. Because if we're constantly saying this is what we want, right? We don't want violence. We don't want discrimination. We don't want hate. How do we get it if we don't exemplify it ourselves?
You know, as I'm listening with you in our Upstander programming, we use the acronym ACT, A-C-T, ask, choose, teach. What you're describing to me sounds so classic as the teach, by example of how I live my life. Mm-hmm. That is my example that I'm putting out there, that let others learn by what they can see. Oftentimes I use the reference from Martin Luther King's Drum Major Instinct, mm-hmm. when he said, when I die, somebody gives my eulogy, do not let them say I won the Nobel Peace Prize. Let them say that I loved and served humanity. Mm-hmm. In other words, it was in that action, not in its accomplishment, but in the action. So for folks in Boise not familiar with Inclusive Idaho, what are the actions?
Oh, so many things. So I've wanted to do this work for a long time, and trying to figure out how to do this past police brutality. So what is systemic here? Because we know and we've heard about and we've seen the statistics on racial injustice in our criminal justice system and policing. And so wanting to do the work in the community that combats that, but looking beyond and looking at the everyday. And I'm so thankful that policing and the disparities in criminal justice have been elevated. But in sitting with my sister, as we're thinking about this organization and what is it that really affects the day-to-day, what are we doing daily that is, there's so much discrimination in, there's such a lack of inclusion in, and we begin to think about our jobs and the experiences that we've had in the workplace mm-hmm. and education and healthcare and all of those things. And so we wanted to create an organization that not only looked at social justice in the way that we think of it, so marching and fighting against systemic racism in those very like visual, tangible ways, but how can we create programming in an organization that is going to work long term to elevate inclusion in our schools, in our workspaces, in the outdoors, especially because this is Idaho and our community. And then specifically, we also, Idaho has a very unique population of refugees. Mm-hmm. And so many people have said, well, isn't there the IRC or isn't there this organization? And we say, absolutely. And so that programming is specifically geared toward second year and beyond, when refugees lose a lot of their aid. And including refugees in employment and education practices and policies, beyond frontline and service jobs. Not that those are bad, but many of our refugees come with 4, 5, 6, 8 years of education, and they spend the first 7 years in the States mopping floors. Mm-hmm. And I know as Americans, we definitely would view that as almost suffering, right? Mm-hmm. To have gone through that level of expertise in something and then not be able to use it. So, yeah.
Do you find that you're working with an audience in Idaho that doesn't know what they don't know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And I think it's been so interesting too, either working with local activists and community members who look like me, who are black, and also the mayor and the police department, the city council, and other organizations, there seems to be such a learning curve. And I think that first, the ability for people to just ask a question, inquire about something, or even if they don't understand what the next sentence is going to be, to stand up. Mm-hmm. And I know that's what we're talking about today. And I was in a group recently, and I was kind of invited to speak on the same type of thing. And I was letting them know that it's not about having a pamphlet of anti-racism answers. Like, this work is for a lifetime, but you have to be willing in the moment to say the thing. And even if all you say is that is wrong, right? But nobody's expecting you to be Ibram Kendi, yeah. You know? And I think that's almost the negative of this current climate, is it's like, I have to read 25 books, and until I'm done, I'm mute. Yeah. And I can't say anything. Mm-hmm. But I know that's not what I want. Mm-hmm. I want that if I'm sitting at a restaurant in the North End, which I know you guys may have seen the story, mm-hmm. about Charlene Taylor.
Yes.
Dr. Charlene Taylor, actually. I want somebody to say something. Mm-hmm. You don't have to MLK them, but you can say, I'm sorry that you're living through that. I'm sorry that happened to you. Or if you have an opportunity, you know, when it's not somebody driving by, to confront them. So.
What would you give? Because we're going to have folks within the community. Well, that's really not a problem here. We don't have that problem. There's not racism.
I think, I've seen that happen often. And I think that with policing, that's definitely true. Mm-hmm. Especially because that's like kind of the hot button right now. And people say, well, Boise police officers aren't shooting black and brown people, and Boise police officers aren't doing this. So why are you asking for this, or asking for reform, or asking for moving in the budget? And what I say to people often is, there's racism happening in every facet of our society, in our community, from the police department to schools to workspaces, right? And everywhere in between. But the idea that we wouldn't preemptively start this work and preemptively create the change that needs to happen is so wild to me, that you feel the need that someone has to be slain in order for us to do the work. And I also want to note that Boise in Idaho is one of the fastest changing states and communities in the nation, right? Our diversity in comparison to 20 years ago is astronomically different, and it will be in 20 years. And I think if there's something to consider, it's that even if you don't feel like that we're Minneapolis or New York or LA or Chicago or San Francisco, even if you feel like that this is a totally different landscape, it may not always be, whether you like it or not. And let's do the work ahead of time so that we don't ever become a news story, that we're never on, you know, headline news in the first place, because we've done the work in policy and policing and legislation.
Oftentimes we'll refer back into the quotes that are etched in the stone of the Idaho and Frank Human Rights Memorial. Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doesn't mean it's coming out of a point of immediacy. It's coming out of a point of longevity,
mm-hmm.
that this is what we want. This is the environment I want my children raised in, my grandchildren. This is the lifestyle
right.
that I want. We also take a lot with the WASMA Center programming. We hope we are preparing students to live elsewhere too,
mm-hmm.
that they may not always live within a Boise bubble,
mm-hmm.
that they will be exposed to a broader world. And are they prepared to take those values with them anywhere?
Yeah, I think that's really significant. I also think, just to backtrack a little bit, it's important to note that many Black and Brown and marginalized community members would tell you that they've had negative experiences mm-hmm. with policing. It doesn't mean that they've lost their lives, but there's still room for change. And I think creating a more inclusive Idaho, Boise, Treasure Valley is really significant. And there's something about my upbringing that I'd like to bring up. In are we preparing our students, our children, to live elsewhere or to experience a world with people who don't look like them?
Mm-hmm.
My family integrated the community I grew up in. And before I went to elementary school, the superintendent of our school called my mother and highly advised her to homeschool us because he knew it would be an adverse experience. And just in the act of her choosing not to do so, and some might say that it was terrible for her to do that, you know, to take eight Black children in the early 90s, which is, we should be saying 1920s, but it's fine. And then the early 90s and place them in a school where no one looked like them. And the teachers had never taught anyone who looked like them. And the kids had never hung out with anyone who looked like them. But even through all the racism that we experienced and the terrible story after terrible story after terrible story, how many community members today and how many of the people that I grew up today now view and have a different opinion and the thought of Black Americans because they went to school with me?
Exactly.
And how many kids in those surrounding communities will never have that?
Exactly.
Because they didn't go to school with anyone who didn't look like them. And so even through all of our pain and suffering, you would even call it, like us just existing in that space was standing up. And I don't know that I realized that or thought that till I was in college, but I understood that her choice to place us there was definitely her saying, like, I know this will be hard, but they have the right to be in this space. They have the right to public education. And to suggest that I should homeschool my kids because other kids are racist, mm-hmm. is wild. I mean, I don't know another word for it, really. It's just unbelievable. So, yeah.
How do you define inclusion?
Everybody. I mean, that's really it to me, is I want Idaho, I want Boise, specifically because I live in Boise, I say that, but I want our state and our communities to be a place where when you enter, whether it's for work or to move here or to go to college or whatever it might look like, be a place where you can find belonging, that you see yourself centered, that in a workspace that you feel one, that you belong there, and two, that you can move up and contribute. I think when you walk down 8th Street, you should one, see people that look like you, but know that these businesses and restaurants want you there, that it's not just a we have to, but we want our places, our workspaces and our schools to have non-binary folks and LGBT plus members and refugees and Black people and Indigenous people and Latinx community and Asians, and that we are a community that is welcoming of everybody, but also highly aware that these individuals that I just spoke of are marginalized and need to be elevated and lifted, because we're living in a world and a society that has continually pushed them to the fringes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been The Voices of Idaho. Thank you for joining us today, Whitney.
Yeah, thank you.
Before we go, big thank you to Whitney Mistel for coming on the program, sharing your story, and continuing to teach. Also, big thank you to Steve Fulton. That was Steve Fulton's song earlier called Walls. And you can find that wherever you're getting your music these days. And big thank you to you for listening. We definitely appreciate it. If you are a musician or you know a musician who has some music related to our theme this year of being an upstander, please reach out to us at info@wasmuscenter.org. Great. Thanks. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
I've been walking through some pain. So if we walk this road together, we can find our way back home again. It's a home of many colors, no ceilings and no walls, but there is room for all our brothers, with no graffiti in the halls. We can share this road together, so if you walk with me, my friend, with you right here beside me, we'll find a home with peace again. It's a home of many colors, no ceilings and no walls, but there is room for all our brothers, with no graffiti in the halls. We can share this world together, so if you walk with me, my friend, with you right here beside me, we'll find our